Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Change agents are more important than ever, and we could all use more tools to catalyze the cultural transformation our world is so urgently crying out for. Our guest today on Pathways is Robert Gilman, an internationally renowned pioneer in cultural sustainability and someone who most definitely qualifies as a cultural change agent. For over 35 years, his work as a writer, researcher, activist, and consultant has helped thousands of people in hundreds of communities around the world understand cultural transitions and implement practical innovations toward creating a humane and sustainable future. The founder of the Context Institute and its award-winning journal, In Context, Robert's passion for ensuring a sustainable world is passed on through the Bright Future Now program, which is going to be the subject of our conversation on Pathways today. Hello, Robert, and welcome to the Pathways program.
Hello, Paul. Delighted to be here.
Well, I want to bring up the fact that you started your adult career as an astrophysicist with a PhD from Princeton. And then somehow you decided that the stars could wait, but the planet couldn't. How did that happen? And how does the astrophysicist mindset support the work the Context Institute is doing now?
Yeah, I guess in terms of how it happened, I have to say I came from a background with a very strong service orientation. And I was always pulled both in the direction of the sciences, which I delight in, and also what can be done in a more service-oriented way. Not to say that some science isn't really wonderfully service-oriented, but I felt a somewhat different calling. When I was an undergraduate at Berkeley, I had a major in astronomy, but I almost had a minor in anthropology at the same time. So they'd always been a real mix for me. And then in the late 60s, early 70s, I just got to a point where I felt in terms of what was happening in the world that it really was time for me to focus on what was happening here, as delightful as the astrophysics was. And then
I was just going to say, I'm so glad that you did that, because I'm, in the interest of full disclosure, going to reveal the fact that I just took your Bright Future Now workshop after we interviewed you on Pathways a few months ago regarding the Context Institute in general, and it was an enlightening course, a six-week online course, and I'm just so glad that you made the shift.
Thank you. Well, I am too.
All right, so let's talk about the Bright Future Now program. You know, what is it all? How would you describe it?
Well, it's really comes out of my experience with working with cultural change and seeing what it is that seem to be the next steps that people need to be able to take in order to step into this new world where, in so many ways, the rules are different than they have been. And I'm particularly focused on people who want to make a difference. I'm not trying to convince people that they should go out and make a difference. I'm looking for people who are already feel that in their hearts, but want to know how they can be more effective.
And you offer this broad understanding of what we're going through right now, because arguably this is an extremely high anxiety time to be alive. I mean, change is so fervent and it's so rapid and seems to be ever accelerating, and there's a fair amount of chaos going on. And you have this understanding that you teach, that the Bright Future Now course teaches also, having to do with the three grand eras of human cultural evolution. Please speak to that for us.
Sure. And I'll just, here I will weave in the astrophysics. You know, when I was an astrophysicist, I was used to dealing with things in terms of billions of years. And so squeezing down to only a few hundred thousand, you know, it's almost enough to give me a headache.
It's a little tight for you, I know.
A little tight, yeah. So I'm really comfortable with taking a broad, big picture view of things. And that's what I've done in terms of the way that I look at culture. And I look at culture not as stories of individuals, heroic stuff and all that sort of thing. I'm much more interested in culture in the terms that would be used today as a complex adaptive system, a co-evolving system where you have stable states and then you have transitions between those stable states. And humanity's first long stable state was when we were hunters and gatherers. And that went on for tens of thousands of years in small tribal groups. And I like to call that the tribal era, up to about 10, 12,000 years ago. And then agriculture started off an unstable transition that led eventually to cities, writing, and the military bureaucracy, which happened by about 5,000 years ago. By the time we got there, we got into a new stable period that I call the empire era, which is all about agrarian empires. And then about 500 years ago, at the time of the Renaissance, we got another unstable transition that we're still in. And our lives today owe a great heritage to the past 5,000 years, and yet the life we are living today is so different from what it was 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. All those time periods were actually quite similar to each other, but they're so different from where we are today. And where we are today is in the midst of a very deep transition. And so it does feel chaotic. And when things are chaotic, people are upset and concerned. But I would say that from the view that I have, we're actually doing very well. We're doing what we need to do in order to complete the transition into what I call the planetary era. And the shifts that Bright Future Now helps to focus in on some core shifts that are part of making that transition out of the empire era and into the planetary era.
You know, I get the impression from the Bright Future Now program that what you're doing is you're looking at the big picture, and you're looking, you know, we're on the cusp of this whole new way of operating as a culture, as a society, as individuals. And your course uses depth psychology and system mapping, and it touches the mind and the heart and the body. It's just such a holistic approach. But one of the things that's really important is to understand the era change that we're in the middle of now, this moving towards this planetary era. And it seems like you're looking at it as if it's like 300 years in the future, and you're looking back and you're having just a much broader perspective than we can possibly have now when we're grappling with all of these dramatic changes to social institutions and structures, and even the structures of personal relationships. And, you know, your course is meant to help people thrive as we shape a bright new future. But how could you, and you're really a visionary, and I want you to share with us your vision of the planetary era that is so hard for people to grasp where we are now.
Right. Well, all of us probably have been exposed to a lot of science fiction that has spaceships flying around and all that sort of thing. And that's I don't know. You know, that's not what I'm focused on. I'm focused on stuff that may seem very simple, but actually has a profound effect on the way that people experience their lives and the way that cultures run. So in the empire era, the basis of social organization was all around violence-enforced, religiously sanctioned hierarchy. You look at any one of the empires, from Egypt to Sumer to Babylon to Rome, it's all the same story. And if you look at what's emerging now, not just on a moral basis, but because of the increased connectivity, it's a systems issue that winds up meaning that now what is much more favored is a basis of social organization using consensual collaboration and self-organization. This is what's emerging from the bottom up. It hasn't really reached to the broadest levels of society yet. But more and more, the companies that are really succeeding are companies that make use of a lot of collaborative processes. There are all kinds of ways in which you can see it emerging now. It used to be that it was an idealistic, aspirational thing to engage in collaborative activities. But if you really wanted to succeed in the real world, you had to be a dominator.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but that's actually changing now. And we're moving increasingly into a time when trying to be a dominator isn't going to work. It's not going to work nearly as well. And in fact, the groups and the people who will really succeed are the people who are the skillful collaborators, the skillful. And in order to do that, what I would say is that you need to do what I call embody the three harmonies. Now, this may sound really far out, but from the perspective of 300 years in the future, it's pretty obvious to use your image, Paul. The three harmonies are, the first harmony is the harmony within. So it's a matter of being able to get your inner psychology into a place where you have a compassionate understanding and acceptance of yourself and are able to work with all the different parts of yourself in a way that, you know, doesn't mean that they're never, you know, you never have disagreements within yourself, but that you are able to be at peace with it. You're not constantly being driven by trauma and other things of this sort. So the harmony within is a big piece, and it's an important part of what happens in Bright Future Now.
Yeah, you mentioned trauma, and I really got a lot of benefit out of this whole exploration of our sub-personalities in the course, and I find it interesting that one of the markers of the Empire era is being traumatized in childhood.
Right.
Which is why I'm sure that you bring in this child character development piece into the six-week course.
Right.
But anyway, I interrupted you. You've got the three harmonies going. Okay, the harmony within the self.
The harmony within the self, and then the harmony with others. And it's hard to have the harmony with others if you don't have harmony within yourself. And then the harmony with nature. And people who move forward on those three are going to find their lives easier and easier. And the great thing about that is you don't have to get anybody else's permission. You can start today to move in the direction of better harmony within, better harmony with others, and better harmony with nature. And as you do that, you gain immediate benefits. That's why it's Bright Future Now. You get to step into it right away. But your stepping into it also helps to move the culture along.
And so what is the benefit? I mean, how do you get to step into it now? What do you get? What can students expect to get out of the Bright Future Now?
Well, one of the people who's been through the course, who is a manager in a technology company in Germany, was describing how he just feels like he's ready to handle anything now. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a personal issue or a group issue or some complex systems issue. Mm-hmm. And that he was surprised by the degree to which, by the end of the course, he felt a new level of contentment.
You know, do you think that's the result of, or one big piece of what I learned in the course is how to recognize categorical thinking, which I would call black and white thinking, and transcend it and go beyond it with techniques to stimulate a more creative approaches to problem solving and conflict resolution. Seems to me that one thing alone could change a lot of stuff.
Indeed. I will say part of the joy of the course is that you get a number of these. One thing alone would be a big benefit, but you get them connected with each other.
Yeah. No, I can affirm that. Yeah. You know, there was at least a half a dozen one thing alone experiences for me. Mm-hmm. And they were all connected, which makes it a brilliant course. And I think everybody felt like that because you offer a money back guarantee. Now I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
Yeah, sure.
How many people asked for their money back in the course that I was in?
Nobody.
Okay. And what's your average on that?
I don't know quite numerically. I mean, like we've had, I think maybe two people who have asked for their money back, and it was totally for their own personal reasons. It wasn't because they were unhappy with the course.
I see. And you're so compassionate, you help them out. I mean, it's not really, I mean, it's not that much money. It's $400 is a lot for some people. But I found it to be a very reasonable price for the course. And one of the things that you talk about in the course, or one of the terms you use, is voluntary human scale innovation.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one of those eye-opening ideas. What does that mean?
Well, the culture is this very rich fabric of many, many things that we all do and ideas that we share. And you don't change it by just making some one big change in one place. You change it in thousands or maybe even millions of different little spots. And in order for the change to get some kind of traction, it needs to match up reasonably well with what it interfaces with. And so that's why it's really important for lots and lots of people to be pushing the edge that is available to them at their human scale. So I'm not so much interested in the big dramatic stuff. I mean, that'll happen. But the stuff that really moves the culture forward is what you could sometimes call the long tail. It's people all over the place, never make the news, doesn't matter, but they are doing things that wind up actually shifting the fabric of culture. So
it kind of reminds me, it's kind of analogous to the fact that most new jobs are being created by startups. People who are doing something small and starting organically in their basement or whatever, that's where most of the job growth is and prosperity, the new prosperity, is coming from.
Right. And those are also the places where, for a great many of them, that's the place where they're not using traditional command and control, you know, organizational structures. They're much more collaborative and
right. You know, and you were very encouraging to me personally after our first interview, and we chatted a couple of times. You know, I was kind of sharing with you how despondent I felt since the Trump election and the ascendancy of the right wing in this country, and how I felt like, you know, even though I'm doing stuff and I'm helping with cultural evolution in my own small way, I was kind of depressed about how small that way is because of my desire to tackle these big problems or to make a big difference, and feeling, you know, kind of catastrophic about if I can't make a big difference, it's kind of, you know, it's not worth doing much of anything. And I don't know how many other people are struggling with that. I suspect quite a few. But you were so encouraging by bringing up this human scale innovation piece and being supportive to me for the fact that I was actually doing quite a lot. I just want to thank you for that. The course has reinforced that.
You know, now that some more months have gone by and we can see what's happening not only with Trump, but also around the world. In many ways, the world has reacted to Trump by saying, not that.
Well, not all the world. You know, the Trump supporters have, their ranks have not really, at this point, been reduced that much. But they are categorical thinkers.
Right, right.
Who only watch black and white Fox News.
Right.
And really, I don't know, how do we reach them? You know, do you have any words about that?
Well, I'm not sure really. I mean, there's likely to come some place, some point where the influencers within that world will decide that Trump is no longer worth it. But it's going to take time and experience to shift some of those folks. But the point is that if they're still a minority, and there may be a relatively large minority in this country, but if you look at what happens in other countries, the worldwide reaction to Trump, by and large, has been that's not what we want to do. So Trump pulls out of the Paris agreement, and the rest of the world says, well, if you want to be that stupid, you know, we know what we need to do, and we also know that it's cost effective these days to shift out of fossil fuels and into renewables. So the Chinese are perfectly happy to sell yet more solar cells and windmills and all of that sort of thing, while the U.S. abandons what is one of the largest sources of energy-related new employment, which is the whole renewable energy arena.
Right. Well, the U.S. is controlled by the oil industry. The U.S. government now is once again controlled by the oil industry, just like Putin is probably the biggest oil man in the world, and then you've got Saudi Arabia. It's just insane.
In fact, if you match up trouble spots and trouble people with oil, it's remarkable how much it does connect. And yet the market forces are moving to increasingly undercut that power.
I think it's interesting how in one of your online videos, and by the way, I want to plug your online videos at context.org because mm-hmm. they're brilliant. And if people want to learn more about these empire or these era transitions, like the one we're going through now between empire and the planetary era, etc., and the whole history of it and the kind of overview of it, the big picture, these videos that you have on context.org, these free videos, I would recommend people definitely go there to look at that. And one of the things you say in one of them is there are no environmental problems. There are only the environmental symptoms of human problems.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that, for example, take climate change. We wouldn't be having all of this CO2 if it weren't for that control by the oil industry. And the control by the oil industry isn't an environmental problem, it's a human problem.
Right.
Paul Hawken recently put together something that he calls the Drawdown Project, where he brought together essentially 100 different existing mechanisms, existing solutions for how to not only slow but actually reverse the level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And at least 80 of these had a long enough track record that they could be, you know, you could really do economic analysis on it, and found that indeed you could put, by putting all these different solutions together, you could turn the CO2 in the atmosphere around by 2050 and start to bring it down. And there are clear funding mechanisms that there's some upfront funding that's needed for it, but it before very long, it all pays for itself. It's if the political will were there to do it, and that political will be there as soon as we get a millennial president, or someone who is really tuned into the millennials, as soon as that political will is there to do it, we'll be able to turn the issue of climate change around much, much faster than most people realize at this point.
I love how upbeat you are about the future. Your optimism was contagious after our first interview, and it's part of the reason I signed up, because I want to be more optimistic, and I am now that I took the course and realized that, hey, I can make a difference. I am making a difference. Right. Pathways Radio and podcasts are making a difference. What do you mean when you say that we have the winds of history at our back?
What I mean is that things have changed enough in terms of increased connections between people and the level of ability that people have and the way in which the economy now depends so much on people who are involved in things with goodwill rather than coerced into things. There's a whole range of ways in which our culture has changed now so that it's really moving us towards the planetary era. But I also want to say that just because the winds of cultural change and the winds of history are at our back, we have to raise our sails. It's up to us to make use of that. And it's not as if it's all going to, you know, get nice and easy in 2020. We, you know, those of us who are alive now have at least a few more decades of turbulence to go through. But the fastest way to go through that is to keep building towards that positive future. The more that people do that.
I love your 80-20 rule. Let's share that.
Yeah. Yeah. So the 80-20 rule is devote at least 80% of your time to building the future, to building the new, to going to those three harmonies, and 20% or less reacting to the reaction. You know, Trump is basically a reaction to the success of all of this deep cultural change that's going on, and it's a last gasp to try to stop it, and it's unstoppable.
Now, your $400 course fee provides the student with both the course and a lifetime membership in the Bright Future Network. And like I said before, all of this opportunity comes with a money-back guarantee. What is the Bright Future Network?
Right. So the Bright Future Network is the place where people who have been through the course get to then collaborate with each other, support each other in various different ways as they pursue their own projects with their own interests.
Beautiful. How often do you offer this Bright Future Now 6-week online course?
We're currently offering it seasonally. So there's a summer course that will be where registration closes July 1st. There is a fall course. There will be a winter course and then another spring course. So it's seasonal.
I see. So the summer course at the time of this broadcast and the time the show is being podcast, people need to register by July 1st if they want to get in on it. And how do they find out about it?
They should go to context.org.
The word context.org, which is the signature website of the Context Institute,
right?
Which is you and your group, and puts on the Bright Future Now program.
Right.
Hey, thank you so much, Robert. I would love to talk a lot longer, but we've run out of time today.
Well, thank you, Paul. This is, again, fun.
And for those who tuned in late, this is your Pathways host, Paul O'Brien, author of Great Decisions, Perfect Timing, a book that shares the theme of Pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution, which is also the theme of the Bright Future Network, our guests on Pathways today. In a second, I'll tell you how you can rewind and replay this entire interview anytime you like via the internet or as a podcast on iTunes and other servers. Today, we have been visiting with Robert Gilman, developer of Bright Future Now, a 6-week online program for positive cultural evolution. He's also the founder of the Context Institute at context.org. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed via KBOO.fm Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. USA Pacific Time. Podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are also available for free at divination.com, spelled divination.com, and on iTunes and other podcast outlets. This is Paul O'Brien, reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Radio and Podcasts. Thanks again to Robert Gilman and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways experience.